essentially what the report tries to do is to provide a picture of the challenges that Canada is facing in ensuring that all people in Canada have access to adequate diets. And I look essentially at, first of all, the policies that are in place and the new framework that is in place in Canada to support the right to food. I then look at different dimensions of the right to food, food availability, in other terms, agricultural production, food accessibility, social policies that support poor people in their access to food, and food adequacy, the quality of diets that people have access to and what the government is doing in particular to combat overweight and obesity. Obesity is affecting 25% Canadian adults, overweight 62%, and particularly strong amongst First Nations peoples. And then I look at, the question of the external policies of Canada, food aid, development cooperation, and I focus also in the last section of the report on Indigenous peoples. Now, a few highlights, perhaps, on the report. First, in my view of the legal framework, I come to the conclusion that although civil and political rights are extremely well protected and enforced by courts in Canada, Canada is behind as regards economic and social rights. And this is despite the fact that various provisions in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, 7 on the right to life, section 15 on equality, could be used by courts to enforce the right to food. This, in fact, is not what happens. And in addition, the Canadian Human Rights Act has not included social condition, poverty, as a prohibited ground of discrimination, so that the protection of the right to food and the protection of the poor from discrimination remains quite insufficient in the Canadian legal system. And I believe that this is something that could, indeed, should be improved to provide better women who are unable to have access to adequate diets in the country. I look at the policy framework in Canada. I am impressed by the fact that 11 out of 13 provinces or territories have anti-poverty strategies, some of which are indeed including legislation adopted at provincial or territory level. But at the same time, I find that too little is done to coordinate this with federal level policies, and sometimes municipalities, provinces find it very difficult to implement their policies because of the lack of support. I also look at the need for an integrated food policy for the country, a national right to food strategy, essentially needed, it seems to me, for two reasons. First, to ensure that adequate attention is being paid to the question of food insecurity in the country for the populations most affected. This should be an issue that should be treated as a priority on the domestic agenda, and having a debate, a national debate about a food policy for the country will oblige all levels of government to look at the issues, to understand who is affected by this, will therefore place the issue of access to food on the top of the domestic political agenda. And secondly, I believe such a national strategy is important in order to have much better synergies develop between municipal level initiatives supported by food policy councils, provincial and territory-based initiatives, and initiatives at the federal level. For the moment, many issues are not dealt with adequately as a result of a lack of coordination between these different levels of government. And I believe that having a national approach to these issues, combining the federal, provincial, and territory levels, would be extremely useful. Looking at agricultural production, I essentially identify a trend in Canadian agriculture that is increasingly focused on export-led agricultural production, making it very difficult to support local food systems and to support relatively small family farms. And I identified this as a problem, not least for the ability of people to have access to fresh, nutritious food that are locally produced, and for them to be able to develop local food systems. This is an issue I document at some length in my report, which unfortunately I cannot discuss in great detail here. One consequence, however, which I would like to highlight, of this evolution of the Canadian agriculture policies towards export-led policies, big business policies, if you wish, is that increasingly the agricultural production in Canada is depending on importing seasonal migrant workers under various programs, the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program for Mexican and Caribbean workers, or the Federal Temporary Foreign Worker Program. And these people are in a situation that is extremely problematic, I believe. They have actually quite low access to healthcare and to other forms of protection. If they do not comply with the terms of their contract, they can be removed from the country, which makes them, which places them in a very vulnerable situation. So this is an issue that I discuss in my report, amongst others. Looking at food accessibility and the ability for the poor in Canada to have access to adequate food, I express very serious concerns, particularly look at the numbers. Out of a total population, about 35 million, not less than 3 million Canadians are considered to be poor. Perhaps more than 1 million Canadians are considered food insecure. These are people who do not know whether they shall be able to feed themselves the next day. And these are people who pay extremely expensive rents for housing. They are not sufficiently well supported by social protection schemes. And they queue in food banks. The numbers of those dependent on food banks have been increasing over the years. And I express very serious concerns at this. And I try to examine why, in that respect, Canada is failing at least part of its population. And yes, inequalities in Canada have been increasing over the years. It's true for Canada. It's true for many OECD countries. Today, the 10% richest Canadians on average make 10 times more than the 10% poorest Canadians. And this inequality is increasing over the years. I believe that we should tackle this issue. We should increase the level of minimum wage legislation. We should impose on provinces and territories that they do more to support social protection at their levels. And since the federal government provides, through Canada social transfer, support to provinces and territories, perhaps they should make such support conditional upon the provinces and territories doing more for their poor, for these situations not to develop further. Looking then at food adequacy, the quality of diets, I do express a concern as to the increase of overweight and obesity in Canada. I believe more could be done in respects to ban the use in food of trans fatty acids. More could be done to discourage advertising to us children, as Quebec has done, but it's the only province who has moved in this direction. And I believe that more should be done to combat food deserts and to adapt land zoning policies to the need to have low-income communities in cities have access to fresh, nutritious, and affordable food. Today, it is not unusual to find it very difficult to have access to adequate diets at an affordable price due to retail stores not providing quality foods at a decent price for these populations. So, let me close by saying just a few words on Indigenous peoples, because I did travel 1.1 million Aboriginal peoples in Canada. And here it is true that it is a very serious source of concern. I focused in particular in my report on Nutrition North Canada, which I believe should be better monitored to ensure that the retailers do comply with the requirement to pass on the subsidies that they receive to the beneficiaries of Nutrition North Canada, the poor who depend on Nutrition North Canada's programs to have access to adequate food. And the monitoring there seems to me to be insufficient. I also look at for communities depending on Nutrition North Canada, because I heard many concerns in this regard from the communities in question.